Good evening. It's good to see everyone out. I wanted to start by just saying how appreciative I am to have a part in this service and to have this short talk. And I'm thankful for those that put this service together. And hopefully you'll be encouraged from this service. And I know as I was going through this study, it encouraged me, so I hope that you're able to benefit from some of the things that I've prepared for us tonight, and it'll benefit each of you as well. And so again, it's good to see everyone out. It's always good to see all of the smiling faces when we come here together to worship God, and it's good always to be a part of such a great group of people. And so thank each of you for always encouraging me and encouraging really each other. As I'm sure all of us can share in that same sentiment. And in this way, it really ties to, again, our this evening's titled theme, which was, as Josh brought out, let all things be done for building up. So really, I mean, isn't that certainly what we do when we come together here and enjoy each other's fellowship? That's a big part of it, is, like Josh brought out again, is coming together and just worshiping God. So that certainly is a blessing. And in fact, I think a good passage to start us off and to lead us into what I really want to talk about this evening is Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse 6. Colossians 2, starting at verse 6. This reads, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So again, in verse 7, it says that we're to be built up in him, being Christ, right? And so what I want us to explore tonight is how does that look in action? How does it look when we're being built up in Christ? And I want to do this in the context of the actions taken by an individual named Ananias. So you can probably see the title of my short talk is The Acts of Ananias, and this is talking about the Ananias from Acts chapter 9. So if you want to be turning there, that's where we're going to spend a majority of our lesson this evening. So Acts chapter 9. So with all this in mind, if you'll think with me for a moment here, I want to kind of map out how I wanted to approach this. We're going to split this passage into three sections, so three main parts, points that I want to bring out from the passage tonight, and I want to look at those, and again, a three-point lesson, if you will, and we're going to start with the first section, and our first point is going to be that we're about to see here in a minute that God is going to build up Ananias. So Ananias, from our story here, we're going to start in verse 10 of chapter 9. So again, Acts chapter 9, verse 10. "Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias?' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name.'" So I'm going to pause there. I want to see in this first little bit, I just want to make a few observations that we can take from that first part, which is going to lead into seeing how God is going to build up Ananias. All right, so our first point that I want us to briefly consider is, in verse 10, it said that Ananias said, "Here I am, Lord." So that, to me, indicated that he was ready to take on whatever God had for him. So in the same way, we can apply this to ourselves today. We need to be ready to take on what God has for us. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, that reads, "We're to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." And so, again, we need to be ready like Ananias was. If we look on through verse 14, 11 through 14, the next thing we can see is that even though Ananias was ready in verse 10, he still has his reservations, his worries, which I think is understandable in the context of this. If you remember, Saul is really a menace to Christians at this time. He is, you know, making it his mission to any Christian he finds, he's going to strike them down. So he's worried for self-preservation, which I don't necessarily think he's wrong for that. And we can see in other examples how seeking self-preservation is certainly something that's okay. If we look at John chapter 10, verse 39, John 10, 39, in that example we can see even Jesus at times would flee. It says, there again they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. So on that one hand, we need to be cautious and to, you know, perhaps have self-preservation, but at the same time, we also shouldn't let our fears keep us from doing good, right? And we're going to see that, consider what if God didn't build up Ananias in these next few verses. Like, do you think that Ananias would have had the courage to go and talk to Saul? Well, perhaps not, right? He was scared for his life, so I certainly think we shouldn't let our fears keep us from doing good. And another thing before we read these next few verses is to consider is that God chose Ananias, right? Did God have to use Ananias to speak to Saul? Well, not really. God could have spoken directly to Saul like he did on the road to Damascus, right? But he chose to use Ananias as Saul's guide. And I think, to me, that really shows how much Ananias meant to God. And I think the same can be said about us, right? If we're expected, right, to be put our trust in God, right, would it not make sense also that God entrusts us or trusts us with things, right? And that's what God is doing here. He is entrusting Ananias with this mission. And so I think that really shows what a privilege it is to Ananias and to us today to be Christians and to be entrusted with the mission to spread God's word, right? So that's something I wanted us to notice. If we're going to let's pick up in verse 15. We're going to see how God responds to Ananias' worries. In verse 16, it says, starting at verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. And so we see here that God will build us up just like he built up Ananias, right? If we look at James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So we definitely need to put our trust in God and let God build us up as he did Ananias. So again, that was our main point for this passage, was we need to see that God is building up Ananias. And to close out this section, we read in verse 17, so Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so lastly, we see in this section that we need to submit to God, right? And we need to not rely too much on our own judgment. And really, Proverbs 3, verse 5 is a good passage for that. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And so again, in conclusion for this first point, we need to first see that God built up Ananias. And similarly, God can build us up, right? And that's our application that we can take to get today. The second point I want to bring out is starting at verse 18. We're going to see here in a minute that Ananias built up Saul. So firstly, God built up Ananias. Secondly, Ananias is going to build up Saul now. And so if we start in verse 18, we're going to be reading through verse 22. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. And so we see here again that Ananias is building up Saul, but how did Ananias take that first step to building him up? Well, didn't he have to, he had to go to Saul, right? And so the first ingredient, I think, that is important when we're, you know, speaking to others about Jesus, or Ananias in this case, to go, he needed courage. And so the first point that we can bring out from this is that Ananias had the courage to say what needed to be said here, and to, despite his initial fears and reservations, he did go and take that action. And so if we look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, this is a good passage that aligns with this. It says, and that's again 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And so we see the results here. If you looked back at 18 through really 20, that God is encouraging and building up Ananias. We can see those results by Ananias there is building up Saul. And a good supporting passage for this is if we turn our over to Acts 22. This is actually a very similar passage, but it's actually from Saul's perspective. So Acts 22, if we're starting at verse 12. We're going to read 12 through 16. "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, 'The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth, and for you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name.'" So I think this passage does more justice to showing just how encouraging Ananias was here to Saul. And he really did build him up. And I think that last verse really emphasizes it, that he said, "Rise and be baptized." He was like, "What are you waiting for? Let's do this." And I think that really is something that we can take to heart for our own lives, to be an encouragement to those around us. And so again, this goes back, we saw it earlier in chapter 9, verse 20. It said that Saul began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues, and it later says in verse 22 that he grew stronger and kept confounding the Jews by proving Jesus is the Messiah. So that really shows our second point. So again, just to recap, first point was God built up Ananias. Our second point was Ananias built up Saul. And our third and final point tonight, I want us to see that Saul is going to build up, and you probably may be able to guess it, Saul built up the church. And if you remember reading through some of the scriptures, you can really see that Saul is such a huge tool, especially for getting the word out to the Greeks or to the Gentiles. So let's see how this wraps up. If we look at, we're going to start at verse 22, and we're going to read 22 through 26. In this first part, I'm going to break this down a little bit more. This first point I want to bring out is, I want you to consider as we read this, if we do not build others up, what's going to happen? And this short passage is going to show us what can happen if we don't build others up. So again, starting at verse 22, it says, "So the tribune dismissed the young man, charging him, 'Tell no one that you have informed me.'" I was in the wrong chapter and verse. Pick back up again. That's Acts 9, verse 22. All right. It says, "But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple." So there was a couple of things there that were discouraging, right, to Saul, or could have been discouraging to Saul. Especially there in verse 26, we saw that when he had attempted to join the disciples, they were all afraid. So if we don't build others up, just imagine this can be the effect that has. But thankfully, it doesn't stop there. We're going to keep going in verse 27 and see if we do build others up, what can happen. So again, starting back at 27, it says, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus." And so, especially there at the end, you can see now on the flip side, if we do have people to support us, in our context, that is, we have the church to support us, right? And so, in this case, he also had those individuals helping him, and they didn't let harm come to him. They said, "Okay, you need to go on to Tarsus, because otherwise you're going to be in danger." So they were looking out for Saul in that case, and we see later that really this has an effect when Paul or Saul is teaching in other areas. He doesn't just stop teaching. He goes on to these places and continues to build up the church. And so we can see that. And if we continue in verse 31, let's see this effect that this has as Saul continues to stay safe and to spread the word. It says, "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied." And so ultimately, from this section, we can really see that Saul is having such a profound impact in spreading the word. So we saw first, again, that God built up Ananias, and then secondly, that Ananias built up Saul. And lastly, we see here that Saul built up the church. And to really emphasize how he built this, how he helped build the church up, we can look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse 17, it says, and this is Paul, Saul speaking here, "But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth." And so tonight in application, we've seen again how God built up Ananias, Ananias built up Saul, and Saul built up the church. So we can see our application today, it lines up perfectly really with these three points. we can also, like God built up Ananias, seek God to build us up through prayer, right? We can do that and be built up by that. And then we also need to be building others up. We can do that just like Ananias built up Saul. We can also do that. And in turn, that's going to help us be built up as well. And we can also build up others through preaching the word. And just like Saul built up the church, that should be our goal today, is to build the church up as well. So I thank you for your kind attention this evening, and we will now have our next two songs and another lesson. Thank you.